Well, we've heard about Egypt blocking social media. Listen to this in from the AP this morning. The company Vodafone says Egyptian authorities forced it to broadcast pro-government messages during the protests that have rocked the North African nation. Microblogging site Twitter has been buzzing with screen grabs from Vodafone's Egyptian customers now, showing pro-government text messages sent to them in the run-up to the violent clashes in central Cairo, which broke out yesterday. Vodafone Group PLC said in a statement today that Egyptian authorities have been using the country's emergency laws to script text messages to its customers. Vodafone is UK-based and says it had no ability to change the content of the messages. It called the practice unacceptable and said it has protested to Egypt authorities. So be skeptical not only of things that you're not hearing, but things that you're hearing. And who will lead the new Egypt, and with what ramifications for the Egyptian people and the outside world once this all shakes out? We will ask someone now who once dared to run against Hosni Mubarak. Much of the media today is raising new doubts about the leadership of Mohamed El-Baradei, who just a few days ago was being hailed as the consensus choice to lead the opposition coalition, at least temporarily. Word, for example, is that El-Baradei has been invisible during the violence of the last day, while members of the Muslim Brotherhood and others have put themselves physically at risk. Let's talk about options for a post-Mubarak Egypt with Aladdin El-Asser, who was a presidential candidate himself in 2005 and is author now of The Last Pharaoh, Mubarak and the Uncertain Future of Egypt in the Obama Age. Mr. El-Asser, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Tell us about your own background first, if you would. Where did you grow up and what did you do? How did you become a presidential candidate in 2005?
Well, I was born in Egypt, and I spent about half of my life over there, and the other half here in the United States. So I'm an American citizen, and I'm a native speaker of the language there, so I can see the picture on both sides. And my name came during the presidential elections in 2005, and I was nominated. But unfortunately, as you know, that the Mubarak regime has been rigging every election and using hired thugs to intimidate the opposition, to intimidate the journalists there. That's a very typical technique that we have been seeing since yesterday.
Why did you run against Mubarak, knowing the election would be fixed?
Well, I mean, we had some hopes in 2005 because, as you know, that was the time during the Bush administration. And the former President Bush came out and said there should be a new Middle East and we need to win the hearts and minds of people. And that gave some hope to many people. And Condoleezza Rice, during 2005, gave a good speech at the American University in Cairo about freedom and democracy. So we thought that this should be a beginning, because before that, nobody ran against President Mubarak. He was the only nominee, and he dominated the whole state media over there, because also the Egyptian people are not getting the outside messages. They're under the Mubarak state media, and he has forced a total blackout of the Egyptian people there now. He shut down the internet and cellular phone networks and trying to intimidate the foreign media and the local media. He has been arresting people from the opposition and local journalists there. So, we know his techniques very well.
What do you think about El-Baradei as an opposition leader at this moment?
Well, I don't think that El-Baradei would be a problem. What we need now is for Mr. Mubarak to step down, and it doesn't matter really whether it's going to be El-Baradei or anybody else. And there should be a smooth transition of government, and calling for elections, national elections, as soon as possible, but not under the auspices of the Mubarak regime or his chief of police. And definitely, we need to see the Egyptian media freed very soon, because the arena should be open for all candidates, and everybody should take part in the future government, and the Egyptian people should be encouraged to go out and vote, because they have not been taking elections seriously, because they know that it's fixed. And they do not turn out. I mean, in every election, less than 10% of the Egyptian people turn out. But as soon as they see signals that there will be real freedom and real democracy and real free media, then they can go out, and there could be voters registration and voters education, and hopefully that any new government should represent the young people, who are 60% of the population now.
My guest is Aladdin Alasser, who was a presidential candidate in Egypt in 2005 and is the author of The Last Pharaoh, Mubarak and the Uncertain Future of Egypt in the Obama Age. We can take a few phone calls for him if anybody wants to call up. And I wonder if any Egyptians are listening, Egyptian Americans, who have an opinion about who? This is a moment where you can name names. Al-Baradei, somebody from the Muslim Brotherhood, someone else, in terms of who should step up as a leader right now. Maybe our guest, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Is this practically a leaderless revolution at this point?
I mean, can you say it again?
Yes. Is this practically a leaderless revolution at this point? You know, when Iran had its revolution in 79, Ayatollah Khomeini was leading it from outside the country, et cetera, et cetera. You had, you know, Nelson Mandela in South Africa. You had Gandhi in India. You could go around the world, Aung San Suu Kyi. Is this a leaderless revolution?
Yes, it is. It is, and that's a good sign, because as I have been saying, and I mean before, that this is very predictable, and I mean this was in the making, and I'm not surprised at all to see that, because about 60% of the people there are young people. Those people out there on the street, they are not political, they are not necessarily religious, they are not leaning towards the right or left. We're seeing people, mainly young, but also older and middle-aged people. We're seeing men and women and children. We're not seeing any religious slogans. We're not seeing clerics. And Egypt is definitely not Iran. There is a lot of differences between that. We're seeing Muslims and Christians, men and women. So, and that's good. This is not a religious revolution, and I don't think Egypt can be another Iran. But this is exactly what Mubarak has been promoting. It's a myth that it is either him or Iran. So I don't think that's correct. It has been a myth that was in his favor, because he played on our fears. And in this case, he got away with everything that he's been trying to do. But we ought to listen to those young people, because they have basic demands. They want freedom. This is the internet generation. Those are people who were born under Mubarak. Those people are the ones who have a large number of unemployed people. Those people belong to the 40% at least of the Egyptians who live under the poverty line. They need jobs, they need houses, they need to marry and start families. They do not care much about the politics or the right or the left, and that's a good sign. And we need to listen to them before they get alienated and see that we're not showing enough support to them.
Let's take a phone call. Ashraf in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi. My comment is that there should be really no names on the ballot right now. It's about the will of the people who are pushing for their will. For ousting this government. It's for the first time they're not behind. An ideology or a religion or a leader. And I'm totally pro somebody who, like Mahgoub, who used to be the governor of Alexandria, or somebody who is was ousted by the government, like Amr Moussa. He was marginalized for being too good and for being someone who would be a good candidate. But he's been in the system. He knows the system, and he has proven that he was behind his principles before anything.
Ashraf, have you ever heard of our guest?
No, I have been living in the States since 2002. I was actually, I'm an opera singer, and I was kicked out of the opera company also at some point. And now I live in the States and work here, and I would love to go back and help build.
Were you implying you were kicked out of the opera company for political reasons?
Yes, actually for being too outspoken about against the administration. The opera company was run by army officers, the opera house.
Ashraf, what do you think about the role of the army right now?
The role of the army, that they should side with the people, but they need to realize that it's a new era. It's not going to be the rule of the army. It should be just the role of the army. They're supposed to protect the protect the country, not run the government.
Thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it. And Aladdin Alassar, how do you see the role of the army right now? They seem like they're caught in the middle. They're not taking one side or the other, or in certain ways they are.
I think the popular sentiment amongst most of the people in the military is that they like what they're seeing. They are with the people. These are their brothers and sisters. But we have to know that they're under the direct orders of older generals. And the problem is that Mr. Mubarak has used and exploited the security apparatus and sometimes the military to protect his regime. And that's not the role of those people to protect its politics. They have a role to secure the street, the safety of the people, the security of the nation. And what we saw yesterday, that he was trying to use some elements from his National Guard, who are part of the military, but mostly these are units that are have been used and exploited to protect him personally. So I hope that the army will stay on the side and protect the people and not take side in politics. But generally, this is Egypt has been living under the military institution since 1952, and many military generals have played a lot of role in governments, and they had cabinet positions. So I think the people now, they want a new start. They do not want to replace a military dictator with another military dictator.
Ali in Manhattan. Let me go to another caller. Ali in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Ali.
Yeah, good morning. Can I have 2 points to express, please?
Sure, 2 points. Go ahead. Number one.
Yeah, the first point, the Constitution of Egypt, unfortunately, gave the president unlimited power to make him a dictator as soon as he take office. Nobody can ask him what the hell he's doing. He above the charge, above the law. And make him a dictator right away. And as you see in the example of Mr. Mubarak, he starts very nice. He was the chief of the Air Force Army. A lot of people like him when he took over. But after that, he have unlimited power. He became a dictator.
So and they now, probably need a new constitution in addition to other things, I think is what you're saying. What was your second point?
Second point, I suggest to Mr. Amr Moussa to lead the country at least for the next 6 months until the election take over and the people of Egypt choose who's the next president.
Thank you very much. Amr Moussa, Egyptian diplomat, Secretary General of the Arab League, I'm told. Mr. Alassar, are you familiar with him?
No, I do not agree also on the figure of Amr Moussa. He might have some popularity because of some controversial positions that he took. But the fact is that Amr Moussa has been a part of the Mubarak regime executing his policies. And Amr Moussa in his early beginnings started in the Nasser's party there and went through the NDP, through Sadat and Mubarak. So he's a career politician and belongs to the same old school. And he's about 75 years. I'm hoping that we will see new, younger, fresh faces there. People who do not really have certain loyalties to Mubarak's party or the same old guard.
What about the caller's other...
Technocrats.
What about the caller's other point, that the Constitution basically allows the president, even if he comes in saying nice things about democracy, to make himself a dictator? Does Egypt need to start from scratch with a new constitution after this?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Mubarak has been doing amendments that favored him to serve one term after another, that favored him to prepare the stage for his son. So Egypt definitely needs a new constitution, and there has been talks about that. Just today they announced that they will abolish some of these notorious articles that they had, that they added to the constitution about the need for certain restrictions for those who will run or who will. So I agree with the caller that the president of Egypt since 1952 has absolute power. And it started with Nasser, who abolished all the parties, nationalized the media that existed before him in 1952. Till 1952, Egypt was a constitutional monarchy, and it was a different story. It was a different atmosphere. So what happened is that Egypt has regressed throughout these years because of absolute dictatorship that has its toll on every aspect of Egyptian society.
How about you? Are you going to go back and run again?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm like many other people. I'm watching what's happening and hoping that there would be a smooth transition in the government. And I do not really care who will be next, but I hope that there will be free media, free elections for real this time. I hope that it will have a government of technocrats, no house, people who will run the country in the best way, not in the old-fashioned way of cronyism and corruption and intimidation of other voices.
Now, our next guest is an expert on the Muslim Brotherhood and on Islamic fundamentalism, if you will, around the world. As kind of a transition between you and him, I want to take one more caller, and that is Sheba in New Canaan, Connecticut, who is Iranian. Sheba, thank you very much for calling in.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I was 8 when the revolution happened in Iran, and obviously lives were changed overnight. I just don't understand why everyone is so sure that this is not Iran 1979. It feels awfully the same. You know, roses being given to the army and the army, you know, being neutral and a transitional government. And it turned out in Iran it was, you know, Islamic Republic disguised under democracy. So I'm hopeful. I know these are two different countries. I'm very cautiously hopeful, but I'm also terrified that we're underestimating that this isn't something in disguise.
And before, thank you, Sheba. And before we go to our jihadi expert and talk about that question in depth, you want a last comment on that, Mr. Lasser?
Well, as I said before, Egypt is not Iran. The Islam in Egypt is not the Islam in Iran. Egypt doesn't have Ayatollah or you know, a cleric that can marshal people in the fashion of Khomeini. And some people have been exaggerating the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood. They have not been in the streets since the 40s. And they have spent many years in concentration camps. And I do not think that they have too many of members. And I think Mr. Mubarak deliberately put some of them as members of in the parliament and made them win few seats just to show the world, well, it's either me or those people, and if we give them a chance, they're going to take over. But I think there are a lot of forces. There are a lot of opposition parties there in Egypt that to be reckoned with. And I don't think that the Egyptian society is willing to have another theocracy, because Egypt has 15% of its population who are Christians. It has people on the left. It has people in the middle. It has a lot of young people who are not necessarily politically indoctrinated, or they want to see a theocracy. So we'll see what's going to happen.
Aladdin Alasser, who was a presidential candidate in Egypt in 2005. He's the author of The Last Pharaoh, Mubarak and the Uncertain Future of Egypt in the Obama Age. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Getting a report now that Egyptian state TV is saying that Mubarak's son, Gamal Mubarak, will not run for the presidency. This was a point of contention after the president's speech the other day. At this point, is probably not going to quell the calls for Hosni Mubarak to step down, but we'll continue to follow that and the reaction to it. And coming up in a minute, we will talk to Fawaz Jurjes from the London School of Economics, author of books including Journey of the Jihadist and America and Political Islam. And Fawaz Jurjes will give us his take on where the Muslim Brotherhood came from and what he thinks about its role in any post-Mubarak Egypt might be. Stay with us.